All right. Hi, guys. Justin Coffin, 330 Sports Show. Today is February 23rd, 2021. It's actually not February 23rd, but that's the day this is going to come out. So I'm going to introduce Greg Kirchner and Brett Franklin. Gentlemen, welcome to the show. Thanks for, as always, joining us. And we'll get into these movies here in a minute. So let me first, before we start talking about these new matchups, just go over kind of the matchups from last week. And I'm going to go right down the bracket and who's going to face who. So Talladega Knights defeated The Color of Money 77% to 23%. Happy Gilmore won in a landslide, beating Ladybugs. The Mighty Ducks in what would be called an upset, you know, based on seeds. The 41 seed took out Race. The Cutting Edge defeated Mystery Alaska. Southpaw defeated not Pete, but Pele. Days of Thunder took out The Wrestler in, again, what could be considered an upset. Days of Thunder was one of the lowest seeds, the 45th seed moving on. Cool Runnings won pretty handily over Ali. Kingpin defeated Secretariat to move on by 81% to 19%. Let's see. We also, this one was crazy. We actually had a tie with Bend It Like Beckham and Victory, both soccer movies. And so what I did to break the tie, I didn't really think there was going to be a tie, but I just texted three people that I knew had seen both movies, and the first two that got votes won. So Victory moved on with that one. The Karate Kid took out Kicking and Screaming. Tin Cup in a pretty close matchup. Tin Cup beat Vision Quest to move on. Bring It On in another close matchup beat Seabiscuit. So both horse racing movies are out now. Rocky in, you know, again, what matchup wise could have been considered an upset, took out Invictus, but wasn't close at all. You know, that was, I think, like 52-2 on the votes. So there we had 54 votes. Rocky had 52 of them. Over the Top, another Sly Stallone movie, took out The Greatest Game Ever Played in probably the second closest matchup. That was actually 52% to 48%. So real close there. Chariots of Fire also won by about three votes over The Legend of Bagger Vance to advance. And Dodgeball won really handily over Blades of Glory to advance. So I guess before we talk about these new matchups, any surprises there or anything you guys think that was an upset or a surprise?
I'm going to Bring It On. I was a little not that I'm surprised that they moved on, but like totally surprised. But I it's just one of those things, like, I, you know, are they voting on the quality of the movie, or are they voting on it because it's a bunch of cheerleaders? So I guess in some aspects it's a matter of, you know, not knowing how people are going to vote.
Yes.
Which makes it's a cheer, it's a cheerocracy, Franklin, so the people vote.
Very true.
But no, yeah, I think the thing that jumped out, Justin, as you were kind of running through the results, was in a lot of the matchups where you had more comedy, lighthearted type movies versus more serious, it seemed like it leaned the lighthearted. Mm-hmm. So that'll be interesting this week now in these new sets of matchups. You have a lot of contrasting matchups like that, where you have a real serious movie against more of a lighthearted, funny movie. And I think it points back to the rewatchability that we talked about. The funny movies generally are more rewatchable and therefore kind of more popular.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I agree 100%. So with the movies that advanced plus the movies that had the first round bye, there were 16 movies that had the first round bye. We still have 32 movies left in this other sports region. So the movies that win this week will advance to the final bracket, and I'll talk about like the scheduling that we're going to do for that in a minute. But the movies remaining, there's a lot of boxing movies that seems to be, like, you know, the overarching number one I guess, I don't even know, tone with this collection. There's 8 boxing movies. There's 5 hockey slash like Winter Olympic type movies, 4 auto racing, 3 golf, 2 pool, or you know, people would call it billiards. There's only 1 soccer movie left, and there's 7 miscellaneous type movies left, you know, with like cards and stuff like that. So, and running and all that stuff. So
cheerleading.
We'll get into all of that. What'd you say?
I said in cheerleading too.
And cheerleading, yeah. some may argue is a sport, some may argue is not, but for this we're gonna go with it as a sport. So I'm gonna put this up on our screen. The rest of the matchups here. And we're going to talk about them sort of in quads. So we're going to go through the first set of matchups here first. So, and you can see down here, please, if you don't already, follow the 330 Sports Show to vote at 330 Sports Show. We seem to get the most voting from Facebook and Instagram. I haven't decided if I'm going to put it up on Twitter yet or not, but for sure on Facebook and Instagram, that's where most of the voting is going to take place. I'll try to link it to my Twitter as well. But, you know, we had last week, I think the lowest number of votes for a matchup we had was 34, and then the most was somewhere around like 68 to 70. So a pretty decent serving, survey size. But, you know, we'd like to get a little bit more for next week. I'd like to get around the 100 mark for each movie if possible. So please make sure to share that out and vote if you're able to. So Greg and Brett, I'll tell you what we'll do. We're going to go through these first 4 matchups. So I'm just going to go ahead and introduce them, and then we'll talk about these guys. So Raging Bull, the 1 overall seed, and Talladega Nights, the 32 seed. We have Gladiator, which was the last seed to get a bye, versus Happy Gilmore, the top, the top seed that did not get a bye. So 16 versus 17. We have Rush versus the Mighty Ducks, 9 versus 41, and we got Ford versus Ferrari versus the Cutting Edge, 8 versus 25. So thoughts on these matchups in general, and what's your guys' overall thoughts on those movies? Oh, Franklin, you're muted.
Sorry, the sound popped on the back.
That's all right.
So, I'm kind of thinking that the Ford versus Ferrari matchup will be the most lopsided.
In which direction?
Oh, for Ford versus Ferrari.
Okay.
I still see even Raging Bull versus Talladega Nights. I think Raging Bull probably pulls that off, but I see a lot of votes going to Talladega Nights.
Okay.
Still. And in 16 versus 17, it's like the 8 versus 9. It's like your best matchup in a way, or at least most evenly matched. Oh man, that's a tough one. I don't think it's the toughest one of everything we have up here, but I do think, yeah, this is an interesting group.
Yeah, that top corner, that for the first 2 matchups,
yeah,
we talked about are just like iconic, basically. You have I think Raging Bull is voted like when they did this, I think it's American Film Institute that does the top 100 movies, is voted the second best all-time movie ever. And yet I still think it's going to be in a battle here with Talladega Nights. Again, kind of what we talked about, it's a very popular movie. It's Will Ferrell. It's more rewatchable, so that'll be that's very, I'm very intrigued. I think Franklin, I'm kind of with you. I mean, I think I'd probably lean Raging Bull just because it's the brilliant film, but you just don't know. And then the Gladiator, right after that Gladiator, Happy Gilmore. I think we talked about it a little bit last time.
We did.
I think there's gonna be a pretty good faction of people who aren't buying into Gladiator as a real true sports movie, maybe. And again, Happy Gilmore is just like Talladega Nights as far as, you know, classic sports comedy. So those, I think those are both like almost pick 'em type matchups. And I think those will get the most activity from a voting standpoint, because I feel like most people have seen those probably multiple times.
I do think Mighty Ducks being there at 41. I mean, that, I think that had a great chance being, you know, that low going up against Rush. I just, it's one of those things. I just think that, again, the rewatchability of it, as Greg has really talked about both episodes now, but I think it's a tried and true thing. Like that movie, it's, and it goes to the, you know, that reminiscent part of it where that's what we grew up with. It's what we, you know, we idolized that movie when it was out, when we were kids, we loved it. I think, you know, people at, you know, within, you know, 5 years of us, are going to look at that movie and probably go with that over Rush.
Yeah, no doubt. I think, you know, along the lines of what Greg said, Raging Bull being, you know, based on a true story is not necessarily, you know, it's not necessarily a boxing movie. It's more of, I guess, a biopic on Jake LaMotta. And, you know, it's interesting to watch. You know, it's not for the faint of heart. It's there's some scenes that will make you uncomfortable in that movie, for sure. I mean, you got classic Joe Pesci in that movie. And interestingly enough, that movie actually came out after Rocky did, even though, you know, it's filmed in all black and white, except for, you know, one little montage that we talked about. But, you know, I'm interested to see how people vote on that one, because I think the popularity, like Greg said, of the comedy will overshadow a better made picture. I heard an interesting story, and, you know, we can get into this more if it advances, but with Raging Bull, Martin Scorsese directed this movie, and he had directed a movie right before this called New York, New York. And I guess it got awful reviews, and he went into like this cocaine binge and never wanted to, like, he thought about like shutting down, like never doing any movies again. And then Robert De Niro actually kept pushing for him to make this movie, and he finally kind of gave in. And Robert De Niro actually, I think, took on three fights. Like he actually fought in three different fights to get ready for this role. And it really, you know, gave him the popularity. And again, like Scorsese's career kind of took off again after this movie was made. So I think Scorsese would definitely vote this movie on. But, you know, it'll be interesting to see how like the typical person would vote. You know, if it's either this or that, you know, and I think that'll be interesting.
I think it's a good point. Yeah. It not really being a boxing movie too. I mean, it is, but I think Scorsese even admitted he didn't really know a lot about boxing. It really wasn't, you know, it was really the story. And it's a lot of it, again, it's a little bit of a rough watch, and it's a lot of his own internal demons that he's fighting. And I've read a little bit about the opening to the movie too, not to do a deep dive on Raging Bull, but for anybody who's not seen it, like, If you YouTube just the opening credit scene of the movie, it's phenomenal. Mm-hmm. And it's just him in a ring with a great song playing in the background. It's like a, you know, classical. I don't know the name of it. I can't pretend to know the composer, but it's a sad, beautiful, like classical song. And he's just in this ring, and there's just kind of, it's just cloudy in the ring, and there's, you know, flash bulbs popping. There's no opponent in the ring. And I think the idea is really Jake LaMotta's biggest opponent was himself.
Yeah, a great point.
And it's really, they consider that to be one of the all-time great opening credit scenes. But there's a lot of that just beautiful filmmaking. And I know De Niro gained like, I don't, some insane amount of weight for the ending part of the movie post his career too. So, you know, it's obviously a very well-made and iconic film. So
over, I didn't see an over under on how many times Greg would post the term beautiful filmmaking before the podcast, but I think we're at three right now.
Oh gosh. All right. I better switch that up.
Oh, it's all right.
Find some new words, Greg.
It's good. It's not Greg. You bring more of like the deeper knowledge to a lot of these movies, which is awesome.
He does. I like when he jumps into these little like tidbits.
Yeah, no, it's
of each movie. Really good. It's good.
Especially there's a lot of like a ton of these movies have like stories within the movie that a lot of people don't know about. But when you look into them more, it's really kind of cool to hear some of the backstories. So I'm going to just go real quick through the other three matchups. You know, personally and biasly, Happy Gilmore's not just one of my favorite sports movies. It's probably one of my favorite movies of all time that I could just watch. Like literally I could watch any day of the week, any time of the day, sober, drunk, whatever. And you're going to laugh every time. Oh, and by the way, for the next 40 days, at least I'll be watching it sober because I gave up alcohol for a while. So that's going to be an interesting, 40 days. But then Rush, you know, I know that's the 9 seed and it's highly acclaimed. And, you know, really the story is excellent. But I think, Franklin, like what you said with the Mighty Ducks, I think a lot of people that are going to be voting in these polls and stuff are similar age or maybe a little bit older, maybe a little bit younger. But in that probably like, let's just say 25 to 45 range, I think this movie still holds up and is still really popular. I think in the second one, Kenan Thompson is in the second one. And like I said, we're kind of like voting on this one as a series, and not just the Mighty Ducks in general. And then again, Ford versus Ferrari, you know, very interesting backstory about how Ford wanted to overtake Ferrari. And I believe the owner of, I can't, it's been a while since I've seen it, but in the backstory a little bit, but the Ford Motor Company wanted to become prominent in racing, tried to buy Ferrari. Ferrari basically laughed in his face or called him fat or something like that. And, you know, it became this like revenge factor. So that'll be interesting. But the movie.
Plus you get some recency bias with that one too, because mm-hmm. it's the newest movie on this list.
That's a good
point. Yeah. It's sort of related to the movie itself, but more the ranking here. I do wonder if we did that like 5 years later, would it still be number 8 or would it be higher or lower? I think that's it. So is it 8 right now because it is, as Greg just said, recency bias?
Yeah. And again, kind of an awesome story, but a little bit of a tragic story in there too, versus The Cutting Edge, which is kind of, you know, I guess you could almost call it like a, I don't know, a romantic comedy type movie, where a lot of people will, you know, but that movie was early 90s and a lot of people that, you know, grew up watching that have fond memories of it too. So I wouldn't be surprised to see either of those, really, honestly, either any 4 of those movies moving on in the bottom like quadrant.
Yeah.
So, all right. So let me go back to the screen share here. And let's take a look at the second group here. So get that up there. You guys see that okay?
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. So this one, you got 2 boxing movies going against each other. Cinderella Man versus Southpaw, the 4 seed versus the 29. We have Pool Hall Junkies at 13 versus Days of Thunder, which, you know, sprang an upset as the 45 seed. We got Rounders versus as the 12 seed versus Cool Runnings, the 21 seed, and Miracle at the 5 seed versus Kingpin, the 37 seed. So a lot of interesting matchups here. So whoever wants to go first, go ahead. You can give your little breakdown of these matchups.
So I'm gonna kind of start with the way I did last time, like the, you know, 16 versus 17 with Gladiator and Happy Gilmore. While that's an incredibly tough matchup, I actually think Rounders versus Cool Runnings might be the toughest in this whole thing.
Yeah.
Because it goes immediately to Greg's point of rewatchability. Now, I can watch Rounders repeatedly, and I know everyone here can watch it repeatedly. But that's not the same for everybody. Cool Runnings does have that ability. So I think that's going to be a really, really tough one. I think Cinderella Man, though, going up against another boxing movie, I think that just makes it easy for Cinderella Man.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a superior movie to it, in my opinion. I think that it keeps running there. What is the 13 versus 45 again? I know Days of Thunder. What was the
Pool Hall Junkies?
Pool Hall Junkies. Okay, I don't know much about that movie, and I'm not going to say that. Just, you know, in my little myopic world that this is right, but I think there's probably a handful of people who are going to be voting who don't know much about that movie.
Yeah.
And I think Days of Thunder pulls off another upset. I think we got a Cinderella story brewing with them.
Well, and Cinderella Man wins, it'll be a Cinderella
story. Yes, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. And I do. And by the way,
you have Caddyshack, which has Bill Murray talking about a Cinderella story. There's a lot of Cinderella stories, man.
Yeah, yeah. And I do think the last one, I think this one's going to be the toughest one for me to pick, with Miracle, sense of, you know, national pride, yeah. and what that Olympic team did versus Kingpin, which I love.
Yeah.
So, like, I have no idea which way I'm leaning right now. I really can't decide. So I think this one brings a little bit different world than that first column did, but
yeah. I mean, Cinderella Man and Southpaw Franklin, I'm right on with you on that. I do think Cinderella Man's a superior movie. And again, two boxing movies is probably a tough matchup for Southpaw. Cool Hall Junkies, I'll also admit I don't know too much about that. I actually watched a little bit of Days of Thunder last week. It was on TV, and I don't know about you guys, but I'm in for like Tom Cruise in the 80s and 90s doing just about anything. Because it's just entertaining. I mean, like the guy or hate the guy, he's a little crazy. Tom Cruise brings that Tom Cruise to everything he does.
Yeah, he has good movies. He has good movies.
I mean, usually they're a little out there. And I kind of forgot Robert Duvall is a big, you know, he's the crew chief, I think, in the movie. And I mean, it's like there's a lot of Duvall, and I love Robert Duvall, and the two of them are really good. And then you got Nicole Kidman playing the female lead in the movie too. So, and then you have, I one thing I noticed I never knew before in this movie is John C. Reilly, like a young John C. Reilly in this movie, which is ironic because he's obviously also in Talladega Nights, but I know
he was training him.
Yeah. So he was in a lot of movies before he kind of turned comedic. He was a character actor in a lot of movies.
Ironically, earlier today with my 2-year-old, I just watched some Wreck-It Ralph, which he he plays the voice of that character in that. So
yeah.
Love that movie. Too bad it's not in this list.
It's a sport.
It's a video game. Yeah. I don't know.
And just to real quickly round it out, I mean, like Rounder, I mean, yeah, like you said, Rounder's Cool Runnings is probably the most interesting, maybe the most interesting matchup on the board. And again, I think, like, for us, and we could do a whole series of shows on poker and its impact on all of our lives, but like we all were, you know, we were in college during the poker boom. Mm-hmm. And Rounders was kind of coming out. I don't know. It came out a little bit before that, but I think it really gained popularity when poker got popular. And it's like, holy shit, this is like a movie about poker, and everybody's playing poker now. So it was really, I just associate that with just learning the game, and Chris Moneymaker making poker mainstream, so to speak. And then the final matchup, I'm blanking. I think what was the last one on there? Oh, the last one there. Yeah. Yeah. Kingpin Miracle. I think you're right. It's like a really good movie that a lot of people like versus probably the best story of all these movies. So
yeah,
it'll be interesting.
I'm not going to get into each of these very much, but I think Southpaw, to go, I guess, counterpoint, could have a little bit more recency bias. I think that movie came out in 2015. So I think that movie might play a little bit more up. And a lot of people, if you like Jake Gyllenhaal, you might just vote for, you know, him. And I think, is it Rachel McAdams that's in that movie as well?
I'm
going to look it up.
My negativity towards Cinderella Man comes from Paul Giamatti, because I'm just not a fan.
Oh, come on.
He's like the guy that, like, I look at him and I like picture him like eating a sandwich with his mouth open and it getting caught in his beard, and it just grosses me out. He's in the show Billions, and he plays this like prosecuting attorney. And ever since I started watching that show, it's just kind of turned me off of Paul Giamatti. And but you know, he is a good actor. He just, I don't know, there's something about him that just like makes my skin crawl when I see him. So I might lean towards Southpaw on that one.
son of Bartlett Giamatti, the former Major League Baseball commissioner.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
I did not know that. Okay, interesting fact.
There. There's your tidbit, guys. There's your Kirchner.
There's more. it's the second of many.
with Pool Hall Junkies, I gotta admit, that's a movie I've probably only seen about 5 minutes of, so I can't give a lot of insight on that. I've seen the preview and the trailer, but Days of Thunder, I remember very early on, maybe like as a 10 to 14 year old, watching that movie. And think, you know, again, that's one of those movies when, you know, like laser discs and CDs were, you know, just becoming popular, and everyone would like crank up the sound. And, you know, that's kind of like the Rush / Ford versus Ferrari of its time then. A little bit, obviously, different stories, but, you know, a classic racing type movie. Rounders, I don't need to say much more about it. It's just like a fan favorite. I have a feeling whether Rounders moves on or not, we'll probably do a deep dive on that movie at some point.
Okay with that.
Cool Runnings is just an awesome story. And I think the Olympics that they competed in, I know it was in Canada. I don't know if it was in Alberta or...
Calgary, I believe.
Calgary, yes. And, you know, from them going from Jamaica to like minus temperatures and having no equipment, that's just an awesome story. And John Candy, one of like the most legendary actors of that time, was in it. And Miracle and Kingpin, you know, again, two great movies for different reasons. You could debate that one. So I actually think Miracle and Kingpin will be the closest matchup. But we'll see how that goes. So
yeah.
All right. So let's go to the third round of matchups here. And I'm going to bring those up right now. And so we have The Big Lebowski, the 2 seed, versus Victory, who, like I said earlier, was in a tie with Bend It Like Beckham. So I didn't think of doing the tiebreaker beforehand. So, you know, I texted you guys, how should I do this? And that was just the system I came up with. So anyway, Big Lebowski and Victory are going to take on each other. Victory is the last remaining soccer movie in this, which was interesting. We started with a decent amount, but, you know, Ladybugs, boom, Bend It Like Beckham. I think there was two or three more that got knocked out. Let's see, Hurricane versus The Karate Kid, a 15-18 matchup. That should be an interesting one. Slapshot and Tin Cup, and The Fighter and Bring It On. So this one, I think The Big Lebowski moves on no problem, just in my opinion, just because I think that has a cult classic following. And, you know, whether you really have like watched that movie a lot or not, everybody knows it for whatever reason. So I feel like that movie has no problem moving on. The Karate Kid has, you know, again, we talked about Cobra Kai a little bit last week. You know, that movie still has a ton of people that follow it. And, you know, so I think that has staying power. But these last two matchups, I really don't know what to think, because Slapshot, a lot of people love or don't like at all. And Tin Cup, I feel like a lot of people think that's more of like a romance than a golf movie. And The Fighter is an awesome movie. But then I feel like, kind of like Greg said last week, Bring It On's got that like secret lovability to it. And, you know, so I don't know. So you guys go ahead. Give me your thoughts on that.
I guess I'll keep going. So I've been starting out with this. I'm going to start at the bottom though, because, you know, last week I definitely went on my little spiel about, you know, The Fighter.
Yeah.
But you're right. You're absolutely 100% right. Like, there is a little love affair with Bring It On. Mm-hmm. And I think it now kind of plays into a couple things. You know, we get in rewatchability. Not sure if either one of them have a ton of it, to be honest, but probably a little bit more Bring It On. But recency bias goes to The Fighter.
Sure.
So I know which way I'm leaning. And it's not even really a question. I'm going to obviously go with The Fighter, but then when we get to Slapshot and Tin Cup, I'm with you, Justin. I have no idea. Like, I don't know which way anybody is going to go on this one. Slapshot has, you know, it's a movie that's aged pretty well, but it's, you know, Tin Cup, it's, you know, I don't know. It's just one of those things, like, I have no idea how people are going to vote on that one. Big Lebowski and Vision, that, like you said, it's not even a question. I think this may be the biggest lopsided victory we have of this entire side of the bracket. And then I do think, just like you said, I think Hurricane and the Karate Kid, I actually think it may end up being a little bit close, but I would think Karate Kid kind of wins out here. It's, I mean, when you look at even 15 versus 18, it was always going to be a close match to begin with. I think the Hurricane story, it's pretty cool. You know, when you kind of think back to, you know, a lot of the racial injustices that happened back during that time, you know, he was a fighter who, you know, who got accused of murder and was sent to, I believe, 3 life sentences. But he didn't do it. And they, you know, they were basically, they had false witnesses and stuff like that and false testimonies. But they wanted to pin it on him, and they did it because they could. So it's that whole story. Again, you can watch the movie, or you can listen to Bob Dylan, one of the two. But yeah, I think this actually isn't a bad bracket, set of the brackets here either. So
yeah, you know, I think I fully agree on the first matchup. You know, I think we talked a little bit about too, like, star power type, you know, who are you more, you know, who's gonna, you know, you said some people may vote for Southpaw because of Jake Gyllenhaal, and I don't, as big as Denzel is, I don't know if people will vote for the Hurricane because of Denzel necessarily, because the story is really even bigger than he is in that movie. But Karate Kid's so iconic that I tend to think that'll move on. Yeah. Kind of interesting in the Slapshot Tin Cup matchup, you have two mega stars, but, you know, I think, again, with our age group a little bit, we sort of came in the tail end of Paul Newman's career and sort of missed out on the big chunk of his career, although I enjoy a lot of his movies. So we all know I'm a pretty big Kevin Costner guy. So, you know, I think Costner's sports movie carries a lot of clout with that. And, you know, I think it automatically makes it a little bit tough to beat. And then, yeah, Fighter, Bring It On. I don't know. I still think, again, serious movie, you know, somewhat of a cult classic, lighthearted. you know, guilty pleasure movie. I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if Bring It On one. I may make a little run here, but
I feel like that's a movie that, you know, if you're just, let's just say you're hanging out at home or over someone's house and they just have the TV on. I feel like that's a movie that's, you know, it's very likely to be on. I'm not saying it's going to be on, but you know, there's a good chance because it's one of those movies that replays a lot, like USA or whatever network it might be.
Yeah.
Whereas The Fighter, that's something you have to go seek out. You know what I'm saying? So,
I think Bring It On is probably the only movie on here that has made its rounds on MTV.
Okay. Okay.
Like, I mean, it's more of like an MTV VH1. It definitely gets USA sometimes too, but like, yeah.
You can throw TBS into that mix.
Yeah, this
when they're not showing Shawshank.
Right. All right, let's get to the final portion of this bracket here, and so you know we have The Hustler, the 3 seed, again, a classic, iconic movie versus another all-time classic, iconic movie, 3 versus 35. The only problem is here for The Hustler, which is a very high seed. This is kind of like one of those, this would kind of be like a Gonzaga before they were Gonzaga, kind of taking on like a blue blood type program, like a Kentucky, like you were saying last week, Greg, who had kind of struggled through the regular season, but they come out firing. So I'm interested to see how this will go, but I think I know how it's going to go. But you know, Rocky to me being the 35 seed, like Franklin said last week, that's too low, but that's based on the way we compiled the data. And then we got Caddyshack and Over the Top, I think is the lowest remaining seed left, sprang the upset last week. So 46. So if, and I'm not saying this is going to even be close to happening, but if somehow Over the Top sprang the huge upset on a classic like Caddyshack, you'd have Rocky and Over the Top going against each other next round. But
that would be great.
But I'm gonna go out on a limb and say it's, you know, that's not gonna happen. I think the top part of this bracket, the top portion, the top upper right corner here, we know how that's going to go. Mm-hmm. Creed and Chariots of Fire, I have no idea. That's the one in this section. I really don't know. Creed, great movie, great boxing movie, goes along with the Rocky series. And Chariots of Fire, who narrowly edged out, I can't remember who their
match was. It was Bagger Vance.
Bagger Vance.
Yeah. Again, another pretty decent movie, but, you know, it moved on. But I don't know if it's going to have the staying power. And like Greg said, it's an underrated movie that a lot of people probably haven't seen or don't know enough about. So I'm going to kind of stick with Creed on this one. So the people that are watching this podcast, you know, again, I don't know if they're objectionally going to listen to what we're saying with their votes. But, you know, I think if that's a movie you watch and then watch Creed, you know, it might sway your vote. But I don't think a ton of people are going to do that. And then finally, Million Dollar Baby versus Dodgeball. Two awesome movies. Again, two very different movies, but to me, I think the rewatchability factor that Greg talks about is gonna come through in this one. So, go for it.
I was just gonna piggyback off of that. Like, I don't know anybody who's watched Million Dollar Baby more than once, and not because it's not a great movie. It's just you know, a sad, like, kind of tragic, tough movie to get through, and you're not done with it and saying, okay, I can't wait to watch this one again. So I'm totally with you there. Like, Dodgeball is, you know, one of the more rewatchable movies on the list. So I'd slate that as the favorite. You can almost say, you know, I think it'll be a pretty significant win for Dodgeball if I had to predict. And I do think Creed will get to Chariots of Fire. Chariots of Fire, I do enjoy, but it's not the most, like, it's one of those, like, when you kind of watch it, it's not the most, like, exciting. You know, there's not a whole lot of action, but it's a really good movie. And as we talked about last week, the music is iconic. And then I'm with you, Justin. I mean, Caddyshack over the top is clearly probably the biggest mismatch possibly in this whole bracket here. It's just and then Rocky just carries so much with it. As great as The Hustler is, it's, I think it was 1960. Again, it's Paul Newman, one of the all-time great actors. Jackie Gleason was also in it, but that doesn't mean as much to people our age as it would if our, you know, parents were maybe voting. So
yeah, I'm with both of you being here. I think with Creed and Chariots of Fire, Chariots of Fire, like Greg said, the movie problem that you have is, you know, one, it's that rewatchability part of it, but the other issue is recency bias with Creed, and I think that's, you know, it's sort of like a namesake. It's right there on the top of your head, and I think people see it, they're going to vote Creed. I think that's probably not even all that close, to be honest with you. The fact that Chariots of Fire, like, struggled, we'll say, to pull out the win over Niagara Vance, which we talked about last week at length, being like star heavy, but just sort of a crappy movie. Like, I look at that and like, Chris is not gonna have a problem. But I think Dodgeball is gonna wipe the floor with Million Dollar Baby. I think Million Dollar Baby is going to get votes. It's absolutely going to get votes. But I think Dodgeball is, because I think of all of these, that movie has probably one of the most, like, highest rewatchability aspects to it.
Yeah.
It's not, and it's really not.
Yeah. I think the other thing too, when you think about it, you know, the story we talked about a lot of different things, a lot of different factors that go into this, and the story does too. And back to Chariots of Fire, just real quick. I think if we're in England and we're voting on this, because this is about British runners, I think I want to say it was like 1918 Olympics. And I think there is some national pride with that story, but not in the US. I mean, people, you know, you don't feel that sense of pride. Sure. One of the great scenes in that movie, besides them running on the beach, is the one guy can't watch the race. He doesn't want to watch the final race. He's too nervous. But he sees the British flag rise from where he's at, like over the horizon where he could see it. And like, he has this moment of celebration and stuff. And I feel like if we were British, we'd maybe feel, if that was an American flag, like, I think you'd feel that a little bit more.
Right. Yeah. You could flip it on that with Miracle too. Like,
yeah.
If we were English, that movie would mean absolutely nothing to us.
If you were a Russian, you would hate that movie.
You would hate it. You would put it down just to spite it.
And in Russia.
Yeah. But I do remember saying Over the Top last week was primed for an upset, and it pulled it out. It got a really rough draw with Caddyshack, though. Yeah, to be very fair, Caddyshack should be, just like Rocky, should be rated higher. Sure. They're not. It is what it is. But It's definitely making it, it's going to make life difficult for Over the Top, for sure.
Well, I'm just looking at all these movies, and this is just the other sports region, but I was trying to think, and maybe you guys would know this off the top of your head. I don't, because I haven't researched it, but, you know, I see Russell Crowe in two of these movies, at least. I see, you know, obviously, Sylvester Stallone is in Over the Top. He's in Rocky. He's in Victory. That I see in these movies. So, do you, and Kevin Costner, I mean, my God, you know, he's in like every baseball movie there is. So, is there anybody that stands out to you, maybe that I missed there, that's in a ton of these movies?
Matt Damon.
Sports. Matt Damon. That's a good one.
Yeah, that's a really good one. We talked about Newman. He's in two, and he was also in Color Money that didn't make it through. But yeah, you don't think of him as a sports movie icon.
No, Not at all. Not at all. I think actually the way Greg was talking about Tom Cruise in like the 80s, that Matt Damon, that early 2000s, he was like, every movie he touched was huge.
Yeah. Yeah. Great point. Great point. Now, you guys had brought up Tom, I think Greg brought up Tom Cruise, classic Tom Cruise earlier. The only thing I was going to add to that I meant to say, I wrote it down here in my notes, is I'm for any movie Tom Cruise is doing, as long as he's not trying to convert me to go clear.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Hopefully we don't get a little backlash from the Church of Scientology.
Yeah, big. I mean, there's like, you talk about movies, you know, we talked about it, I think, in one episode, doing a deep dive on Top Gun. You can do a deep dive on a lot of those Tom Cruise movies. And it's just, he plays the same character, but it's a damn good character. So why not? At least in that stretch. And then he kind of branched out. But it's always a young, brash, arrogant, like, it's Tom fucking Cruise. That's what
could he be in any other sport other than auto racing in these movies? Because he's not.
He did Color Money. So he did Billiards, and I actually looked that up, and he did, like, the thing about him, and a lot of actors do this, but he's notorious for just like, he will immerse himself in the character. And like I said, if you watch Color Money, it's like he took every shot in that movie except one, and it's just because they didn't want to wait the couple days for him to learn it. But he will freaking, I mean, he's probably 5'6", 5'7", so I can't see him being in too many.
That's the point I was going to bring up too. Like he's so short. The problem that you would have is he's not a believable quarterback.
Yeah.
He's not a believable any other athlete when you look at basketball, baseball, football. You look at these miscellaneous ones, you know, billiards, you know, poker, things like that, where, you know, heightened stature doesn't mean dick, but that, you know, that'll work. But I think these, in this bracket, he could probably fit a role in just about any one of these movies, with the exception of boxing. That would be the only one he would be able to fill out.
He could be like a trainer, though. I could see, you know, but
true.
It's interesting you bring it up. But, there's that volleyball scene in Top Gun where he's playing freaking beach volleyball in jeans. Like, I just feel like he probably spent weeks honing in his volleyball skills for that. I mean, he's just the guy. If you give him a character, he'll go all in on it no matter what. So he'd certainly try to play the best quarterback he can play. But
let me ask you this: could he have played Ralph Macchio in The Karate Kid?
I don't. Oh man, I don't know. I don't think so.
Okay.
I think. Look, I mean, when you look at his roles, he's, you know, there's not comedies. Yeah. And Ralph Macchio, while it wasn't a comedy, he had humor bits to him. He had parts that were humorous and lighthearted and all that sort of stupid shit. But the thing about him is, like, I just find him, like, he's super serious, which is probably why he goes 1 million miles an hour at, like, whatever role he takes. But I don't know if he could do it.
He's too cool. I think the short answer is he's too cool to play that. He was too cool at that time to play that character, right? That's not, I mean, he could have played it, but the thing about him is you can't look at him and not see Tom Cruise. So it's hard to, it would have to be before he started doing, you know, Top Gun and Cocktail and those type of movies. Otherwise it's just like, oh, it's Tom Cruise, like, he's the coolest guy in the room, he doesn't need to know karate, like, he
right.
Yeah. Plus at the time, wouldn't he be like a 27 year old fitting into like a 16 year old's body?
That's an excellent point. Sorry.
A little bit of a problem.
And you guys can Google this or tell me if I'm wrong, I cannot think of this offhand, but the only comedy I can think of him doing is a really, really short cameo in one of the Austin Powers movies where he makes it's like right towards the beginning of the movie, and I can't think of the female that's.
Was it Goldmember? Was it that one? Was it the last one? Yeah,
it was. And you know, he plays like his classic character, but it's, you know, in obviously the comedy format. So, so that's the only time I can think of him being in a comedy.
Yeah, I guess like, because you wouldn't say Jerry Maguire is not really a comedy, right? It's sort of.
Yeah. It had moments, I guess, but yeah, you're right.
He was in that. He was had another short stint in Tropic Thunder and more of a comedic thing. But yeah, you're right. I mean, it's more. He's a little bit too intense to like just play like a truly comedic role. But, I mean, he's great at unintentional comedy. I mean, Top Gun is full of unintentional comedy, and like a lot of these movies are just him being completely ridiculous. Like I love A Few Good Men, and it's like he has funny moments in that, but it's the same kind of funny. It's like I'm arrogant and like I'm too cool for everybody here. Funny stuff,
right?
Yeah, that got quick one liner. But it goes with that arrogance part of it. Yeah,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I can see it. Yeah,
or maybe. Maybe the only other comedy would be, wasn't he on like Oprah Winfrey and he jumping on the couch? And that's a classic meme.
That goes with Greg's unintentional comedy.
Yeah. The thing is, I'm not sure he was trying to be funny there. That's the thing. It's like he's just a little.
Who are you trying to convince?
Yeah.
Right. Good point.
He's just that guy that can't, he's turned up to 10 all the time and he can't undo it.
It's hard to argue with that. That's very true. So suddenly this turned into a Tom Cruise.
It goes to the question, though.
All the rest of the movies, we could just say, could Tom Cruise have played the lead? Could Tom Cruise have played the lead in Bring It On? Swap him and Kirsten Dunst. Could he have pulled it off? I don't know. He would have tried.
He would have went all in. No doubt. Let me go over real quick the schedule here for what we're going to do. So this is going to be, like I said earlier, the kind of like the play-in, the final play-in round for the other sports region. So here we're setting this up like a true March Madness NCAA tournament. So we already have the bracket set for basketball, football, and baseball. So Tuesday, March 2nd will be our basketball movies region, and then there's going to be a vote after that. Thursday, March 4th, there'll be the football movies region. That'll be its own show. Then we'll have a vote there. Tuesday the 9th, we'll have our baseball movie, again, vote, and then we'll bring it back to this that we're talking about now and kind of release the final bracket ahead of time, but we'll talk about the final 16 movies of these on Tuesday, March 11th. So once we do that, there's going to be 8 of each sports movies left, so 32. So on Thursday the 16th, we'll focus on basketball and football. On Tuesday the 18th, we'll focus on baseball and the other sports region. And then we'll get into the Sweet 16, the Elite Eight, the Final Four. And then we can go a little bit more in depth on each of those movies. Then we'll have some other fun type categories and you know, like those movie mashups. And we'll have, we're going to do some like fantasy drafts and different things like that in there. So I just wanted to give everybody kind of an outlook for what we're going to do in March. And, you know, hopefully Greg and Brett can join us for most of these shows. And if they can't, I know there's other people that are going to join us, but you know, hopefully we can get some consistent people that are coming on. So that's kind of what it's looking like. Any other thoughts for this region before we, I guess, turn the page into March and the other sports?
No, I mean, I'm pretty excited about this one. I thought the last one, the play-in one, was, I thought there was a lot of lopsided, and it showed in the voting. I think while there's still some lopsided ones here, I think there's a lot closer, closer matchups, I guess you can call them. And I'm going to check a little bit more frequently than I did last time. I remember seeing some of them like, oh yeah, it's got 100% of the vote. Go figure.
Right. Yeah. So, but like I said before too, I think it was somewhere between like 34 and 68 total votes for each movie, you know, between our Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and we didn't push the vote very, very hard. I'd like to get a little bit more, people voting. So if everybody that's listening to this, if you see this, if you could retweet it, if you could share it, whatever it might be, just to get some more, to help us out, get with, you know, the more votes, the better, and the true, like, actual depiction of which actual movie is going to move on. This isn't going to decide, like, the presidency or anything here, but, you know, for us, it's kind of fun, and we'd like the true winner to get through. So, yeah, no, I'm excited for it, too. I'm actually excited once this round's over to start getting to the other sports, so the football, to basketball, to baseball. I think it'll be a lot of fun, and to kind of...
And as you make your way through these, you could start to see... You know, not we won't necessarily go through them today, but like you could see the mashups coming down the line that could happen that are like are going to be crazy. So as you're walking that timeline, I'm thinking when we're down to 8 in each and 4 in each, and now down to the final 8, final 4. I mean, it's going to be like it's going to be very, very, very interesting, and you're going to have some matchups that are just like. That are gonna. I know for me, like I haven't had to be like, okay, I don't know what I'm gonna do on this one.
Right, right.
I think Miracle and Kingpin might be the first one where I kind of do that, but
yeah,
it gets later. It's gonna be like, I don't know. It's gonna be like I'm gonna be sitting in a room, dark room for a half hour just getting my thoughts on some of these matchups.
What's gonna happen is you're gonna see a lot of these. Movies that we don't know much about filter themselves out, and so then it's going to be ones that we are far more familiar with. And so again, you may still have the one or two where it's, but you're like, oh man, why do I want this one over this one, or should I go the other way? Like it's sure. Yeah, right now you're already seeing it though with the hand you said, Greg, with, you know, Miracle, Kingpin, some of these other ones here, but there's only one or two, you know, so. I think, yeah, as we narrow this down, it's going to get more difficult. And I think that's what makes it so much fun. I think now seeing the preference of people and, mm-hmm. and what they're going to lean towards, I think that's going to be fun to watch.
And, you know, I've seen other outlets, whether it be national or, you know, podcasts type like mine, do sports movie brackets, but they've only done 16, or at most I've seen is 32. The most excited thing I was about doing this is technically we had 96, you know, and mm-hmm. after this round, we'll be down to 64. So it will be true bracket fashion. And, you know, that's what I was most excited about. And, you know, I would say most people out of the 64 will probably have seen at least 2/3 of them. And, you know, with quarantine, you know, a lot of people still either working from home or maybe not going out or doing a lot of stuff that maybe they normally do, you might have a little extra time, and, you know, maybe it gets you excited about rewatching a movie or like, you know, checking out a movie you haven't seen before. So that's kind of what inspired me to do this. And, you know, I appreciate you guys, you know, helping me out along the way. And I really think this next month will be a lot of fun of, you know, just BSing about movies that we love, what we don't like, what we do like. You know, dropping facts that we have no idea about. So I think that'll be pretty cool. And then when we get down to, you know, just a few more or a few left, we'll be able to, you know, go a little bit deeper on those movies. So
yeah,
a lot to look forward to, I think.
Great.
All right. So we'll end it here, guys. Again, thanks for coming on. And we will talk. Our next show is going to be for March 2nd. So we'll probably film that couple days out, but we'll be back on March 2nd, and I'll let you know the results, and we'll share our 64. So until then, Greg, thank you. Brett, thank you, and we'll talk to you guys soon.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Subscribe to our YouTube channel, follow our Facebook page, or subscribe to your favorite podcast platform like iTunes or Spotify. This is original Youngstown content, and we would appreciate you sharing the videos and the word about us. Thank you.